Beautiful. So good to see all of you in this amazing month of May. How many like May? I think it might be my favorite month, you know, like I like May. I like June, early June, and then I like October. And I like all the months in between, but I think May's my favorite month. It's like wonder, isn't it? Just all these trees burst into bloom, and they're so gorgeous. Ah, just like you guys. You're just so gorgeous. All right. Well, May, around at Life Center, it's also Missions Month, and we've always had a heart for missions ever since we began. We didn't have very many missionaries a long time ago, and when we changed our name to Life Center Ministry International, I remember Wesley Campbell laughed his head. He said, "That is hilarious," you know. But truly, it is international. We have missionaries all over the world, and anyway, lots of signs and wonders. We get reports, and Brian will be presenting these later in the month. And then we just ask everyone. We don't do a monthly missions offering, but we do an annual missions offering at the end of May. So, just you'll be hearing and getting inspired, and God will speak to you. But anyway, I was going to talk about some of our other missionaries that are doing great things and amazing testimonies. But we have a missionary right here with us this morning, Georgian Banoff, our dear friend. And Georgian, why don't you come up here? And how many know Georgian is a love missionary?
Yeah,
come on. He just has the love of God and takes it all over the world.
Good morning.
Georgian, yeah. You're here this morning. Anything yes. special about today?
Well, we were just inspired by the missionary spirit that is here, and so our school is going to launch a missionary track.
You are?
Actually, and goes right along with your amazing vision.
Yeah.
We have at home. And being at home, I thought it would be appropriate to celebrate our 40th anniversary with my wife. So, baby, would you come? That's the biggest mission. So, yay.
40 years.
40 years, yeah, today.
All right. Today.
Today, yeah, happened to be today.
Gosh.
May 6th.
May 6th.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And so I just got those flowers for you. And so.
And here's our beautiful.
And that daughter, Yana.
So. Oh my gosh, they're huge.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you so much for being the loveliest home for us, safe. And our whole family is here, our whole ministry is here. So we want to thank you. We celebrate together the endurance of the Lord's supernatural miracle marriages for all of
Amen.
Us. So,
you know, thank you.
These guys are here last week.
Last Sunday was Chris and Laura's 40th anniversary.
40th. So we just released
Amazing.
This blessing
yeah.
for supernatural marriages. Amen. We need the grace of God.
Amen.
It can't do it on our own. So we just bless you and thank you for being faithful. Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I don't know what to say other than thank you.
We love you.
Oh,
we love you. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Ah, that's the best testimony in the world. So last week, the Duprés, 40 years. This week, the Banoffs, 40 years. Yeah. Or 46, right? Anne says we've been married for, in June is our 46th. I think, right? Last year was 45, right? Okay, good. Sometimes Ann says, as I get older, my math isn't as good as it used to be. So I was thinking, like, how did I mess that up? Okay. I didn't. Praise the Lord. So, last week, I mean, isn't it great to be part of a family that we're all together? And we're all, like, all the testimonies that come in from around the world are amazing. We just got a testimony by email this last week. In how many of you remember in March? Easter. It was March 30th. It was Good Friday. And Randy Clark was here doing a healing service. And Nestor Cintron had told his son about this healing service. He was bummed out he couldn't make it. Am I getting the story right, John? Okay. And so, but he watched online. And so there was one of the young women that came up that was part of the ministry team had a word of knowledge. Someone had pain in their heart, congestive heart failure, and pain on left side. And so this man, James Cintron, is watching from home online, and he receives that word. He puts his hand on the screen. He had been diagnosed with congestive heart failure 2 years earlier, could not walk, kept losing his breath, felt very weak. And so when he did this online, this is good for all of you watching online. He felt the presence of something wonderful come over him, and the pain disappeared. And so then somewhere in there, Randy was giving instruction. He said, sometimes your healing takes time to manifest. Like, even though you may not feel completely healed at this moment, it'll manifest over the next few days. And so he took that to heart, good teachable spirit. And he's checking it out. Each day he's feeling better. And anyway, he just recently had a checkup with the doctors, and he's doing well. He's walking a great distance every day, and he's got no symptoms at all after 2 months. So thank you, Jesus. So I'm sharing this because today we're part of our love story, you know, with Jesus, that we're going to be sharing the communion meal, looking forward to the great marriage supper of the Lamb. And so I just want to tell you, he loves us so much. He gives himself to us, and he has given us healing. He is present here to heal, and online he's present there to heal, and there's a grace here for healing heart conditions. We got an email this last week from one of our amazing, lovely missionaries working in India. And a lot of these, we can't show the pictures because they live in dangerous areas. But she told the story of a man who's had these two wonderful sons. He's a Hindu man. But his sons were demon-possessed, and periodically they would be stricken, and they would be in great agony and pain, and it was a big deal. And so he would go pay a Hindu priest who would do some rites and appease the spirits inside them. You know, that was the spirits inside them are angry, and so he would appease the rite, and the boys would be good for a few days, then they'd get bad. And so this went on. He's spending all his money, it's not getting anywhere. And a Christian who knew him said, listen, come to this temple, it's a Christian temple, and you don't have to pay the priest, they'll pray for you. And so they came to one of the churches that's part of this ministry, and they got prayer, and the sons were completely delivered, and they're still delivered, and their whole family became Christians. Another great story in the same time, you know, in one of their other churches, a young woman who had stomach cancer, no hope, was completely healed. And she's doing fine now. And there's another one. This one, I love this. Wealthy Hindu businessman didn't feel good. He went in for a checkup, and it was determined he had pancreatic cancer and not much time to live. And he was very, really in great sorrow and hopelessness. And the next day he went out, and he opened the door of his house, and there was a snake on the step of his house. Now, we might think, oh, that's a symbol of evil. But they thought, oh, that's a sign. And so the next day, the snake was back on his step. The third day, the snake was on his step. So he decided that the snake god was somehow involved in his cancer and his healing. So he got a lot of money together, and he was planning to build a temple to the snake god. Well, along the way, he ran into some Christians, and they said, why don't you come to our temple, and our priest will pray for you. It won't cost you any money, and you don't have to build a temple. And so they prayed for this man, and he was, you know, he was really touched by the Lord. He went back and had tests, and he's completely cancer-free. And so even though This church is in a very, you know, a place where there's a severe persecution of Christianity. Their church has been growing, and they actually wanted to build a second floor on their church so they'd have a bigger room to meet in. And so this wealthy businessman, out of gratitude, took the money that he had planned to build a temple with to the snake god, gave it to them, and they're building this room right now, so that more people can come to know Jesus. It's just wonderful. These, you know, it's our families. And around the world, we're involved with amazing, great ministries that are doing this. Georgian and Winnie have such a heart for children. They're rescuing children all over. They want to buy a second home for children in Hyderabad. And they love the gypsies. They're trying to buy buildings. And so to house what God is doing. And it's just amazing to be part of it. And we are all part of it. And so that's just great, you know, because we're one body. Okay, so I want to talk about that.
Because May is Lifelines.
Because May is Missions Month, we're going to have our Lifelines offering at the end of the month, and we send out Lifelines all around the world. So, Holy Spirit, would you come and release a revelation of what we're part of? That we're part of the body of Christ around the world and through the centuries, and that we're connected with saints already in glory, and we're connected with the church in the future that we don't even know about yet. Just give us an understanding of this glorious body of Christ in Jesus' name. Okay, well, the last few weeks we've been talking about the Word of God and the image of God in us. And today, we're going to be feasting. We're going to have part of a feast. And what we're going to feast on is his fullness. You know, and so that's just a little rehearsal here that, you know, the Word of God always orders chaos. We get this Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was a big mess. That's what it says in verse 2. It was without form and void. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The darkness was over the face of the deep. And then God just spoke. And he spoke, he said, let there be light, and there was light. And that's what he does over and over and over again. And God said, and whatever he says happens. This is the foundation of our faith, that the Word of God creates and orders and brings forth whatever God desires. Now, let's take this into the New Testament. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And whatever the Word brought forth all things that are created. All things were created by the Word, and nothing without the Word was created. Now, what we understand is that we were created by the Word of God in the image and likeness of God. And yet, we didn't do this so well. And you could look around at humanity and say, it doesn't look like it's working. Well, guess what? God knows the solution. Here's the solution. Came right in the middle of history, 2,000 years ago, John 1:14, the Word became flesh. Not just any flesh, human flesh. And so God, this is something that is so hard to wrap our heads around, that the invisible God became touchable, visible, audible, that we could relate to when God the Son, the second person of the beautiful Trinity, became a human being. And the Word became flesh, full of grace and truth. Grace is God's divine ability to do the things that we can't do. And then it says he was full of that grace, of grace and truth, reality. In verse 16 it says, out of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. How many of you think that you might be included in the we all? I mean, this is the kindness of God. What we couldn't do ourselves, he has given to us as a gift called grace. And it's grace that saves us, that sets us free, that heals us. It's his kindness over and over again. He comes to our broken lives and says, I know you can't do it yourself. I am going to share my nature and my ability with you. And I will give grace to you if you will only receive. I'm standing at the door and knocking, and if anyone will open the door, I'll come in. And I'll share your life. I'll eat with you and you'll eat with me. And I want to tell you, his food is better than our food. But he loves you. He loves your life. He loves the details of your life. He loves every hair on your head. Oh my goodness. So it says, verse 16, from his fullness we have all received. So if we've received from his fullness, what has come into us? Ah, good. Okay, if we've received from his fullness, what has come into us?
Fullness.
Fullness. It's very important. Out of his fullness, we've all received grace upon grace. So you receive grace and then you go, oh God, I'm full. But you might not be full tomorrow because you'll get used to it. Your container expands, so he puts in more grace. And there's grace, fresh grace for you every single day. And he wants to fill you with his fullness. So the invisible God in Jesus, the invisible God became visible, audible, tangible as a human being. And he continues to be visible, audible, and tangible through human beings. Ah, how does this work? I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 1. So you might turn there in your Bibles or on your screen or whatever you have. And this is a passage that some people, if you have a mystical bent, you love this passage. And some of you, it's like, I don't get this. You know, it's like, it's not my gift. You know, so I want to pray, Holy Spirit, come and reveal deep mysteries to us that we can't figure out rationally, but are revealed to in our heart by the Holy Spirit who's given to us. Amen. The deep things of God are revealed by the Holy Spirit. So this is kind of a deep passage. Colossians 1, beginning with verse 15, describing Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. Oh, he is what we are. We're to be the image and likeness. He's the perfect image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation. And by firstborn of all creation doesn't mean he's part of creation. It clears this up in the next verse. But firstborn means he is preeminent over all creation. And actually, he can be the firstborn of creation because in the incarnation, the Creator entered creation. Like, whoa! So is he creator or creation? He's creator. But he has entered into creation so that creation can enter into his divinity. Now, he's the firstborn over, we could say, over all creation. And then I love verse 16. For by him all things were created. So that means he's not created because all things were created by him. Say, by him. Okay, I know some of you don't like that. So if you don't like it, just protest and be quiet. But the rest of you, if you like it, we're all going to say it together. For by him all things were created, heaven, earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. All things were, that's the important, all things were created through him. Can you say through him?
Through him.
Okay, most of you are cooperating. And for him. Oh, so they're by him, they're through him, they're for him. In other words, by him, he is the creator, he's the source, he spoke the heart of the Father, that's why he's the voice, the word of what the Father intended. It was created through him, he's the actual instrument of creation of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It was through him, and it's all for his glory, it's for him. This is good. All of creation is by him, through him, and for him. And in Corinthians, Paul says, one day he'll take it all and present it to the Father for his glory. That's just beautiful. But it's all relationship. And so, okay, keep going, Charles, because we're getting to communion, which is the best part. All right. Verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In other words, he is making the universe hold together. And Hebrews 1 verse 3 says that all things hold together by the word of his power. The word that he spoke when he said, let it be, is eternal. It's still working and it's holding the entire universe together until he decides to let it be made into a new universe. All right. Verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church. Say the church. Oh, you guys are so nice. Okay, thank you. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and everything that he might be preeminent. See, all these are words of rulership, but he's the head of the body of the church. That's very important. Verse 19, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Now, this is crazy. All the fullness of God, all the fullness of deity was in him bodily. So in his body, I don't know how tall he was. Maybe he was 5'9", you know. I mean, maybe he was 6'9". But however tall he was a lot smaller than we imagine all the fullness of God. And somehow, because he was more than just physical, in his body, he was open to all the fullness of the God filling him and flowing through him. In other words, he was in communion with something much bigger than himself physically, and so are you. Okay? We were singing this, death was arrested. And when you were born again in him by the incorruptible word of God, you became something so much bigger than your mind can comprehend. In him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things to himself. I'm talking like Brian Leach here. Colossians 2:9, going ahead to the next chapter. For in him, this is in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Verse 10, and you have been filled in him. I think the NIV says that you're complete in him. But see, all this fullness that was in him has now filled you. So if you're in him, you are filled. But not that much can fit in me. It's okay. How many know if you're a cup and you're in the ocean is filling that cup? There's more of the ocean than can fill the cup, but in a sense, all of the ocean can be in that cup because it's in the same environment, and God has chosen to place all his fullness in each of us. Ah! And you have been filled, say, I have been filled in him. So it's not like he just poured a little bit in and then left. No, he put you in the ocean of his fullness. And you're in there all the time. Unless you decide to like be totally ignorant, which is why a lot of people don't walk in it. And in him, so all this stuff happens in him. Everything that's happened in him is available to you. Verse 11, in him you were circumcised. Verse 12, you were buried with him in baptism. You were raised with him through faith. You were made alive together with him. Everything that's in him is in you. His fullness is in you. The reason we don't like this is because, well, then I can't just be sad and lonely. Then I can't be a failure and say, well, farther along, I'll know all about it. Even though in this world, we will have failures. In this world, we will have tribulation. We will have, we'll have things happen to us. And we go, well, this isn't right. But guess what? It's not happening to you alone. It's happening to you in him. And you're having the fellowship of his suffering so that you can know him. And you would know the power of his resurrection, you would know the fellowship of his suffering and the power of his resurrection so that you're completely his. It's like a love story. It's marriage. You know, it's like we're in him and he's not planning to get rid of you. You're not going to get into heaven because you did everything good. You're going to get into heaven because you're already in heaven because heaven's already in you and you've been filled with his fullness. So when you pass out of this life, you step right into what you're already filled with. And what we do with that, it has to do with our reward. So we say, God, fill me today. Keep me aware of this because I'm looking forward to a great reward. Now, so do you get it? And he's talking about us. He put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all. Oh, I'm reading from Ephesians now, chapter 1, just in case you thought Paul was kind of, I don't know, he must have been crazy when he's writing Colossians. No, he was always on this theme. So I'm going to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. He, speaking of the Father, put all things under his, speaking of the Son, feet, and gave him, speaking of the Son, but he's giving him to someone, as head over all things to the church. So the Father has given him as your gift and my gift out of his great kindness to us to be head over all things. Yeah. Ah. And then it goes on to describe, how many are in the church here? Okay. Now, if you're a believer, you're in the church. You should have been baptized. I'm just telling you, we hardly ever say should, but he says, if you want to follow me, be baptized. Okay, and this is important because we're going to have communion here shortly, and really no one should have communion if they haven't been baptized. Oh, but we're very kind, so if you promise you'll get baptized at the very first moment that you have an opportunity, you can have communion as long as you're a believer in Jesus Christ. But see, if you're a believer, then you want to obey. And the first thing that we're told is to be baptized. Men and brethren, what should we do? Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus that you might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's like, why wouldn't we want to? So there's a baptism this afternoon, but it's too late because it's all filled up and that we have classes. But just sign up. You can go to the desk and say, I want to be baptized. Or tell one of the people that are praying afterwards, say, I want to be baptized. And we'll get you baptized ASAP. All right. Because here's what happens. He's given his head over the church, which, verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You are the fullness of him who fills all in all. In other words, when he walks into the room and everything changes, he's walking inside of you. And I love this. We read this verse last week, 2 Corinthians 6:16, New King James, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. But literally, I'll walk in them. And actually, the Greek is so colorful. He said, I will dwell in them and I will walk around inside them. So how does God walk into the room? He walks into the room in you. So when you go to work or when you go to any place, a restaurant, when you're walking down the street and you're saying hi to your neighbors, he's walked into their room and he's walked in you. You're the cup in the ocean and the fullness of him walks right into the room with you. It is so amazing. I mean, we sing these songs and we believe them and we see him. When he walks into the room, everything changes. Do you understand? When you walk into the room, everything changes. So in other words, if you walk in the room and say, well, it's just the same old, same old. That is not what God is saying. God is saying, I know the thoughts I have for you. They're thoughts of shalom. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I know the plans I have for this place. It's not to be the same old, same old. It's plans to prosper this city and not to harm it. Come on. All right. So, yay. So here's what we do. God has it figured out because he knows we leak. He's got his fullness in leaky vessels. So wherever we go, we leak. And so we want to be filled up over and over and over again. And it's so easy. If you ever wake up in the night and you can't sleep, it's an amazing opportunity to just lay there and breathe. And in every breath, I receive the breath of Christ that makes all life holy. I'm filled with the Spirit. And then when you have to exhale, so you can just say, thank you, God, for your new mercies. And instead of being like worrying in the middle of the night, you're not getting enough sleep, you're thinking, this is so awesome. I'm awake in the middle of the night, and I'm not going to think about anything except him. Now, but he knows one of the ways, and it's a very important way and a very foundational way that we fill up and feast on his fullness is in this meal that we call communion or the Lord's table or that kind of thing. And so it starts out, we're going to be looking in Luke 22. Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover. And we're going to find out that he changed the Passover from the Seder meal to the meal we're about to have. And if you like Seder services, I like them too, you know. So this is, I'm not anti that. I'm just saying we have a table to eat at. The Lord has given us a banquet table in the midst of our enemies so we can get filled up every single day, because you can do this at home. Okay. So the ushers are ready. Are you all ready? While I'm speaking, we're going to pass out the bread and the wine. Now, this is not fermented wine. This has been wine that's been made so it won't ferment, and that's good for some people that would be an issue too. So if you're a believer and you want to join in the communion as the bread and the wine are passed out, go ahead and get ready. But handle it with care. This isn't, you know, Kool-Aid and crackers. This is something holy, and this is part of the plan to renew our fullness day by day, week by week, month by month. Okay, Luke 22. Then the day of the unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed, and actually he's talking about Thursday that's happening here. Verse 8, Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go prepare the Passover for us that we may eat it. Now, this is amazing because we're going to find out this is, you know, right before he's betrayed, tortured, goes through his passion, and is crucified for us. But God loves hospitality and he loves relationship, and his desire is to share life with us. So he sends Peter and John. Peter represents zeal. John represents prophetic insight. And we need that when we come to this meal. We need the zeal, our burning love for the Lord, because this is his burning love for us. And we need this prophetic insight so that we fully receive all that he's offering. And they say, where? And he says, well, you'll go into the city, you'll meet a man carrying a jar and follow him. Now, what? That was easy to know because men didn't carry water jars. Women carried water jars. Men usually carried skins. So this is, you're going to see an unusual sign. And he saw, and I'm telling you, God has us set up even though we don't know. And we think, I don't know how I'm going to do what he's asking me to do. Just trust him. He'll give you a sign. And so they follow this man, and when they get to the house, they say to the master, the teacher says, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he'll show you a large furnished upper room. The upper room was already furnished. This is all aside. So when they hey, there's the guy, and they're following, and they go to the house, and they say, where can we eat? Where's the guest room where we can have Passover? And the guy says, well, you know, actually, we've got this large guest quarter. Sometimes it was like a bed and breakfast kind of arrangement where travelers could stay, and it was all set up. And so that's where they had this meal. And they went and found it just as he told them, and they prepared the Passover. Verse 14, when the hour came, he, Jesus, reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said, I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover, this Seder meal with you before I suffer. And I love, literally, it's with desire I've desired. Now, I want to tell you something. With desire, Jesus desires to share this meal with you. in his kindness. He didn't have to. He could have gone to the cross, but this is the heart of the Father. He wants to come into your situation right now. He wants to walk in and fill you with himself so that you would be filled with all his fullness again and anew. And just like, you know, baptism is a prophetic action where we connect with the cross, the death, the resurrection. And Peter says baptism saves us. It's through this prophetic connection. Likewise, when we have this meal, we have opportunity to make a prophetic connection with that eternal sacrifice of the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And not just to be forgiven again, you've already been forgiven, but to be one with him and carry that sacrifice into the world with you. So that where you walk into the room, the Lamb of God walks into the room. The forgiveness of sins walks into the room. Eternal life walks into the room. Oh, Jesus. So, most of the people have your elements now. Let's just take a moment and prepare our hearts. Paul writes to the Colossians, set your affections on things above. So, God, Holy Spirit, just give us grace now to disconnect from stuff we're worried about, stuff we're thinking about, from other things. Let us set our affections in heaven right now. So this also means that we don't have any resentments, any guilt, any condemnation. So if we wanted to take time, we could go through the Lord's Prayer and we'd all be covered here. but if there's any resentment, any unforgiveness, and some of you certainly have suffered traumatic things, this is a moment to say, God, I give this to you. I completely forgive so-and-so, because it's usually a so-and-so, right? That hurt me. Or God, I did this thing wrong. I know I've been troubled ever since I did it, and I just bring it to you, and I confess it wasn't right, and I know that you obliterated, that you've already blotted out of my mind, as well as blotting it out of your ledger. See, he's blotted it out. He wiped it out on the cross, but it also has to be wiped out of the ledger of our own mind and memory. So God, or maybe it was something we should have done that we didn't do, and we have regret. And you say, God, I just lift that to you. And he's faithful and just, and he forgives us our sins, and he cleanses us from anything that would be between him and us, unrighteousness. And he's our advocate. He's on your side. Come on. Are your hearts prepared? Cleanse us, Holy Spirit. Cleanse us completely. So would you lift the bread? Just hold it up where you are. And this bread's about to be changed by the word of God. And you're going to taste and see that the Lord is good. So if you lift up the bread, I'm going to speak the word of the Lord, which he spoke. I love it that Paul, who wasn't there at the Last Supper, had this revealed to him directly by the Lord. The Lord came to Paul, maybe while he was in Arabia for 2 years, but the Lord came to Paul and said, Paul, this is really important. And he says, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. This was the bread of the Seder, which represented Israel in a hurry to get out of Egypt, but now it's something even better. And when he gave thanks, God, would you bless this bread? Would you bless it? We give thanks for all that this is. He broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. That word remembrance really means so that you're unable to forget. It's impossible to forget him. Have your bread. We've spoken the word of God over it. Now, in a mystery, we can't explain it. We don't know how. We just believe what God says. We're going to eat. So let's all say thank you. Let's all eat together. Faith accepts things it can't logically figure out. Is not the bread that we break communion, participation in the body of Christ? We're being filled with his fullness even now. It's holy. Want to be careful and honor it. Now, would you carefully stand up and lift the cup up? And as you're standing, I want to speak these words over the cup. In this same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this is the word who created all things, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim, you manifest the Lord's death until he comes. God, we believe your word. And we do this in remembrance of you. And you say, thank you. Let's drink this cup. Let it fill you with his fullness. This prophetic action that connects us with his eternal fullness. I think maybe we can sing at this point, huh? You can stay standing. Unless you're tired, then you can sit down. To the Lord. So good. We're free. Amen. Before you're seated, just greet someone with a holy hug, a holy handshake, a holy kiss if it's appropriate, and just say, peace, peace. You know, in this greeting, what we're doing is we're manifesting the unity that we have, the union we have with Him and with each other. This is an eternal covenant, and we've just renewed it. We've just been filled. We've just been sanctified. We're holy. We've got the body and the blood of the Creator of the universe inside our bodies now. He makes us His temple. He says, be careful with your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's inside us. He's full. His fullness is in us. When we walk into a room, everything changes. He says, that's why we protect our bodies. We don't give our bodies to immorality. We don't give our bodies to addictions. We're careful, little eyes, what we see. Careful, little ears, what we hear. We're careful, little feet, where we go, because where we go, He goes. What we do, He does. Do we go in dark places? Absolutely, but we go there to shine as the light. What communion does light have with darkness? What communion does the eternal Spirit of God have with Belial or with other unclean spirits? And so I'm telling you, this is something that we refresh ourselves in this week. It's like on this day we come back and we renew our love with Him who has betrothed us and who's planning on a great marriage feast. So while you're engaged, don't mess around with lesser lovers, all right? All right. So He said it. I mean, you know, this is something that's so real to Him. John 6:48, He said, I am the bread of life. And I am the bread, verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. We've just partaken of that eternal gift. Jesus said to them, verse 53, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. But you just have, and you have life in you. And do we know how this happened? No. Do you understand? For 1,000 years, no one understood how it was done. They just believed that it was done. And then along around, you know, as the Middle Ages were moving into what we call the Renaissance, the Age of Reason, all these things, people started saying, like, well, how does this happen? How does this happen? Now, in the East, they just said, we don't know. We just believe. In the West, they're being challenged by all these philosophers, and this brilliant, brilliant man named Thomas Aquinas, St. Thomas Aquinas, he is a philosopher, and he saw, this is like what Aristotle talked about. The substance changes, but you can't see any difference. So they explained it, and thus came the doctrine of transubstantiation, which actually it's a decent explanation. But listen, a mystery doesn't need philosophy to define it. And, you know, it's like, marriage is a great mystery, but philosophy may or may not be useful in defining it. So because now it's defined by philosophers, and all the intentions were good, but it started to offend people, and people didn't understand it, and they didn't understand that he was talking about this philosophical concept, they began to say, no, it actually turns into the body and blood, and then people said, that's ridiculous, it doesn't. Oh, it does. But it's in a mystery. That's why I'm not going to throw this away. I couldn't eat it all because I had to talk. I'm going to eat it afterwards because it's the body of Jesus Christ. But and so then the radical reformers got really offended with the Roman Catholic Church. And so one of the things they misunderstood was this doctrine, and many Catholics misunderstand it themselves. And many priests do as well. They like beyond what Thomas Aquinas intended. And so they get really offended and they go, we don't believe any of that. And God doesn't even show up in this. It's just a symbol. Well, I'm telling you, if it was just a symbol, Paul wouldn't have warned, be careful how you take it. Because many have gotten sick or sleep because they didn't treat it as holy. Now, because there's power in it. And the presence of God is in it. It's like the guys who looked in the Ark of the Covenant and they all died because they weren't supposed to do that. And it's like, but God wants it to be like his presence, the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant in the tabernacle of David that releases all the blessings of heaven on you and on your family and everything you touch. It's something we can't understand. It's not a symbol. It's a reality. And you're full in him today. Amen? Amen. Do you like that? And what we're actually doing is we're participating in his divine nature. That's why this is a holy thing and you can pray about it. Some of you may want to actually have communion every day. You know, just, it's up to you. It's like, I don't have a communion every single day, but I know people who do and they get great strength from it. But I look forward every time I have communion. Here's what it says. Peter wrote this. 2 Peter 1:3. I'm reading from the NIV. His divine power has given us everything we need. You have everything you need. Isn't that great? Like, God, I just need. No, you already got it. His divine power, God, because he's God, because Jesus is God, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And out of his glory and goodness, or his glory and virtue, different ways to translate the same word, through these he's given us his very great and precious promises. I'm telling you, the promises of God are your access into this divine life, so that through them, through the promises, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world through lust or through evil desires. So this is a promise that if you eat his body and drink his blood, you'll live forever. And you can be full every single day. And I just want to say this, you're the body of Christ. And there are no hopeless situations. You're overflowing with the fullness of God. If you access it just by belief, you say, God, how do you see this today? What do you want to say to this person? What's your solution? And he'll bring it. And it may not be like at that second, but it'll come to you because he's faithful. Amen? Amen. Would you stand? And let's just thank him for his infinite kindness. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your infinite kindness that you come to us and you fill us and you fill us and you fill us. And even when we leak, we're leaking out your glory and your watering seeds that we're not even aware of, Father, that the whole world will be filled with the knowledge of your glory, even as the waters cover the sea. Thank you. If you're full, I want you to raise your hands. And if you want more, you're full, but you still want more, raise two hands. Okay, so I'm going to pray. Holy Spirit, would you come and would you fill us and keep filling us? And would you release healing and deliverance and salvation here, even this morning? Would you release, we pray for the release of captives and of sons and daughters who are demon possessed or oppressed or infested or whatever it is, God, that are in bondage. We believe you that all your promises are true, and you said great would be the peace of our children, that all our children would be taught of you, and that the one who takes them captive himself has been taken captive. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh man, I feel such power here today. You just need healing today. You need freedom and deliverance in your life. You can come forward now. Just the altar's open, and we're doing all right with time. There's no big rush to get out of here. But I'm telling you, the Lord is present to heal. The Lord is present to deliver, and there is joy and glory here. Or you can come up if you just say, I just want to be so full that I'm blasted. A woman in the first service came up and she said, you know, I was taking a shower earlier this week, and then I was finished and I'm, you know, doing my hair and stuff, and I look and my whole face is covered with this gold glitter stuff, and I thought, where did that come from? And so she washed her face and scrubbed it, and then she's finishing getting ready and she notices her skin's all covered with this gold again. And she said, what does this mean? And here's what it means. It means, you know, the ark was made of wood, which represents our humanity, and it was covered with gold inside and out. And I'm just telling you, God is going to give signs in this season to you to encourage you that he's in you and he's on you. He's both within and upon you, and that wherever you go, his glory goes with you. Thank you, Lord. All right. So you guys are up here. When you're up here, if you see some people looking at you, they're the people that came up to pray for you. They're anointed and blessed. The rest of you, may the Lord bless you every single day. May he keep you. May his presence shine on you and out of you every single day, like that you would be like a mirror, beholding the glory of the Lord and reflecting it wherever you go. That he would be gracious to you, that he would hear your prayers, and that his peace would be on you. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.